Hi, I'm Rowan Miller. I'm a program manager on the Entity Framework team here at Microsoft. Entity Framework 6 is an exciting release for us and includes a bunch of great new features. I'm going to show you a couple of those new features today. We're going to start with an existing MVC application that was written using Entity Framework 5. I've upgraded it to Visual Studio 2013 and Entity Framework 6. The application is called ParkFinder. We can plug in a location, and ParkFinder will give us a map with a list of nearby parks. The application also has a maintenance section, which allows us to maintain the parks in the database. For data access, the application is using Entity Framework CodeFirst. CodeFirst can be used to map to an existing database, or we can have CodeFirst create and maintain a database for us. In our application, we're using the second option, where CodeFirst creates and maintains the database. To create a CodeFirst model, we create a set of simple classes, like the park one I have on the screen here. CodeFirst then uses a set of conventions to determine the model based on my classes. One of the conventions it uses is to determine primary keys. It expects primary keys to either be called ID or the type name followed by ID. As you can see in my model, that's not the case. Primary keys are called key. Because of that, if I go to my ParkFinder context, which is my derived DB context, I'll see a bunch of configuration done with the Fluent API to let CodeFirst know the key property is the primary key for each of the entities in my model. Another convention that CodeFirst has is it assumes GUID properties will have values generated by the client. In my application, I actually want the GUIDs generated by the database when I insert new records. So I've also got configuration in here to set the database generated option for each type in the model. As you can see, even with just 5 entities in my model, we're generating quite a lot of code that I have to both write and maintain. Fortunately, in EF6, we can make use of a new feature called Custom CodeFirst Conventions. On Model Builder, I can say that I want to do some configuration that's going to apply to all properties in my model. I can then use link type syntax to trim this list of properties down to just those ones that are called key. I can then go ahead and apply some configuration. The first bit of configuration I'm going to do is just to identify that these are in fact the primary key for the entities that they belong to. Secondly, I'm going to also specify the database generated option, again just setting it to identity. As you can see, I've just trimmed a lot of code out of my application, so I'm getting exactly to the same model with a lot less code. The other advantage of this is as I add new entities to my model in the future, I won't have to come back in here and reconfigure them. Now another ask that we get very often for CodeFirst is the ability to map to store procedures. So I'm going to pull up the entity configuration for the park entity, and I'm then going to call a new map to store procedures method on the Fluent API. Map to store procedures has two overloads. The default one with no parameters will use a set of conventions to work out the shape of my store procedures. The alternative is an overload that takes a whole bunch of configuration to specify the name of the store procedure, the shape of the parameters, the result set, etc. The second overload is particularly useful when I'm mapping to an existing database. But in my scenario, I'm quite happy with the defaults. Because this results in changes to the database, I'm going to use CodeFirst Migrations to make the changes. Add Migrations will compare my current model to the database and work out what changes need to be applied. When I look at the code it's scaffolded, I can see it's going to create a park underscore insert, update, and delete store procedure. Now this is just scaffolded code, so if I wanted to tweak the body of the store procedures to include things such as logging and auditing, I'm free to do that. But in our situation, the defaults are just fine, so we use update database, which will push these changes to the database. With the changes made to the database, I could just go ahead and run my application, and EF would start using my store procedures. What would be great, though, is to be able to peek under the covers and see all of the interaction between EF and the database just to make sure it is actually using my store procedures. I'm going to load up the MVC controller that drives the configuration part of our application. I'm going to add a constructor, and we're going to wire up the new log property on database. We're just going to wire it up to debug.write. I'm then going to fire up the application, this time with the debugger attached to it. Database.log gives me a human readable output of every interaction Entity Framework is having with the database. Database.log is actually built on top of some lower level components we introduced in EF6 that allow you to intercept calls before and after they're sent to the database. This can be useful for logging, but also we could tweak the SQL before it's sent to the database, or even tweak the results after they come back from the database. We're going to use the MVC pages to push a simple update. And then if I go back to Visual Studio, I can see that in fact EF is printing out all of the interaction with the database. And I can see here that the update was passed through the dbo.park_update_store procedure. The parameters, their values, and facets are written out to the screen as well. And the total execution time and the result are given to me. The result in our case is just the number of rows that were affected by the store procedure. Those are just some of the new features coming in Entity Framework 6. For more information, head to msdn.com/data/ef for lots of great tutorials, walkthroughs, and advanced documentation for Entity Framework.